And Wade Grisham back with you here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs, joined now by Les Norman. He will be the guest speaker at the North Central Kansas Men and Boys Rally coming up on Monday, March the 5th, there in Beloit. And Les is with us now. Les, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Wade?
Not too bad. Thanks for asking, and excited about you coming to Beloit. Have you ever been to Beloit, Kansas before?
You know, I don't know if this counts. I've been through Beloit, Kansas, but never had the honor of spending time, so better late than never, but looking forward to being there.
All right, so tell us how this all got lined up. I know the Men and Boys Rally, they've done this here for a while. We've had some outstanding people that have come and spoke to us before. Wayne Simeon, we had Casey Wolf last year, we've had Kevin Lockett, and there's others that are escaping me right now. So you've got some big shoes to follow, I guess I'm saying, but I understand you're going to do a wonderful job. So how did this come about to where you're coming to Beloit on March the 5th?
Well, yeah, I guess you guys are slumming this year if you have a former Kansas City Royal coming into town. Yeah, and those are all people that I know, and a few of them are great friends of mine, and so what an honor to have those guys speak. So Rod Hanley is a close personal friend, has been for years. He's the CEO and founder of Character That Counts here in the Lee Summit and KC Metro area, and I believe he knows Kevin Morozis and Charlie, and so there was kind of this in the search for a speaker, the names kind of came across, and it was a kind of a prayer thing, and my name came up, and so Kevin reached out, and it was perfect for my schedule, something that I love to speak to, that type of group, and to invest in. And so just through a matter of time, about a month or so ago, we reached out and prayed through it, and here we are. We're coming to Beloit.
Well, you're a former Royal, played back in 96 and 97. I pulled up, I just put in your name into the Google search, and I remember you when you played. I hope I'm not trying to make you feel old or anything, but I do remember when you played, and I pulled up, there's a highlight of you making an outstanding catch in right field. And it's like, as a young Royals outfielder, it can play all these positions. Talk about the experience of making it to the big leagues, and how hard is it to get there?
Well, it is hard to get there. I mean, you know, I was in a fantasy camp a couple weeks ago as a coach, and Mike Sweeney and I sat down and were thinking about the odds of people getting in there. And I mean, since Major League Baseball was founded, the number of people, whether it's one day or your George Brett, Nolan Ryan, 20-year-plus guys, of just to wear a Major League uniform, the number just eclipsed after all these over 100 years, 20,000. And that's not a big number.
No.
I mean, I remember being asked the question, and I guess somewhere like 425,000, because I thought my math was good. I probably should have paid attention to my math teachers more, but obviously it was way off. So the odds are small. There are millions and millions of boys out there that want to play, and even some girls that want to play. You know, the high school thing, and then there's a lot of politics, and there's a lot of players that are good enough, but not a lot of spots. And then it dwindles to college, and then going on from there. I mean, the number is crazy. But I originally became even interested in baseball because I had a dad that was an alcoholic, and he was very abusive to my family. So I would come home from school some days and hear him screaming, and I didn't want to go in the house. I'm going to go do something else. And one day, I had passed some kids on the way home from school that were already having a pickup baseball game. Wasn't real interested. I grew up about an hour south of Chicago, and I would occasionally watch a game of watching the Cubs play, but just eventually went down there. They didn't let me play right away, but it was, I'd rather watch baseball than hear my dad or do that. And so eventually the passion was born. They let me play, and I always had this idea I was going to be a major league player. But when you're 4'9", going into high school with marginal talent, you better have passion, and you better have a heart to keep practicing and playing. And that's what it was for me. Eventually I grew and worked hard on my game, got a couple of incredibly what I would call, what the world might call, lucky breaks. I see it as God's intervention of creating a platform later on for his glory, but it worked out. It's about a four-hour story condensed into about 5 minutes there.
Les Norman is our guest. He'll be the featured speaker at the North Central Kansas Men and Boys Rally And that will be on Monday, March the 5th. The praise and worship event will be at the Beloit Municipal Building. There will be a dinner before that from 4:45 to 6:30 on March the 5th at the Beloit United Methodist Church. And the program begins at 7, and the music begins at 6 o'clock. And adult tickets are $10, youth 18 and under $5. To learn more, contact your local United Methodist Church, your pastor, leader, or many other people in here in the Beloit area. And this event is open to men, women, boys, and girls of all ages. I know we say men and boys rally, but it's open to anybody that wants to attend. And Les Norman is our guest here on the Sports Ticket. Now, you are still tied to sports closely because I know you have a show there on 810 WHB in Kansas City. I've heard you on a couple of shows there from time to time and talking baseball and talking about the guests you have. So I would imagine that's been terrific for you to still be connected to sports even though your baseball career is over.
It is. It's almost like my playing days ended, so I don't have to feel as much pain as I used to. Now it's just gravity and old age, but yeah, it's a huge blessing to be able to stay in there because it makes you feel like you're playing. Like I said, I coach fantasy camp. I cover the Royals on Sports Radio 810 with Kevin Keatsman on Between the Lines. I have my own show that's not just baseball. It's sports in general, covers all different sports and all different cool, neat stories where I can also share my faith within that same realm of my own show. With Spectrum Sports here in Kansas City, we do a weekly show called Royals Blue Zone Show, which covers the Royals. I've done some and will continue to do some of the AA Northwest Arkansas games and AAA Omaha Storm Chaser games as a color analyst. So I've had the honor and pleasure of being around baseball professionally. I also coach both of my sons. We have teams at 16 and 13 years old, so I get to coach them and be active in that. So I'm 49 in a couple weeks, but I'm still a kid at heart being allowed to be around this great game.
And what got you into the motivational speaking part?
Interesting. I had never really aspired to do this. It was years and years ago, even before I started doing radio, and someone had asked me to come and speak. I wasn't very good, but the passion I felt like God put in my heart to share my message, to glorify Him, to point to Him, that was a really cool thing for me. And then a couple other people had asked me to do it. And like anything, you get better in time. And I did my research and watched people do it. But it was another passion, I believe, God put in my heart and wanted to be a part of that. And so it was just an exciting thing that I started to develop that and started to brand. I learned from a friend of mine about personal branding and how you brand that as both a ministry and a business. And eventually it just took off. I mean, I don't really advertise something like that too much. I just kind of started a little bit of that on my radio show after all these years, but I've been doing it for years and years now. I just flew back. Like I said, I was speaking in Arizona, and I've got a few days before our big event there in Beloit on March 5th. I'm doing a big event for American Family Insurance in Kansas City on the 1st, and I'm emceeing the Taste of Lee Summit 25th year anniversary banquet here in Lee Summit on the 3rd. So things are active year-round. I'm always doing it, and I absolutely love being in front of people and answering questions and sharing stories. It's just a really cool thing to be able to do.
Les Norman, our guest here on the Sports Ticket, he'll be the featured speaker at the North Central Kansas Men and Boys Rally coming up on Monday, March the 5th there in Beloit. Now, you mentioned it briefly early on, and, you know, there are so many – I try to tell my kids this, that they are so, so fortunate – and as you get older, you tend to appreciate things, I think, a little bit more. When my oldest son is 11, and I'm trying to bestow upon him that, you know, you might not have got your favorite video game. You're upset this didn't work, but that's chump change compared to what a lot of people are going through. Recently for Christmas, I played him a video of a kid that all he wanted for Christmas was a rug to sleep on in the basement on a concrete floor. Another one I showed him was a kid. He was 8 years old, and all he wanted was a table so his family could sit at a table together and eat because they had been homeless, and then they were into some assisted housing, which was great. And then I don't know if it was Make-A-Wish Foundation. I don't think it was Make-A-Wish, but it was a charity organization that was able to provide him with his first ever bed. He had never slept on a bed.
Wow.
And he was 8. And so I tried to tell my son that, you know, when you think it's really bad, it's always worse for somebody else. And the reason I bring this up is You certainly did not have an easy childhood, as you mentioned. You had to deal with alcoholic father, violence. The bio here I have here, born into poverty as well. How did you overcome all that? Now, I'd imagine there were some key people in your life that allowed you to deal with these things, because let's be honest, there are people that have probably been in your situation that things haven't turned out as well for them as it has for you.
Well said. I think maybe I should be interviewing you, because that was outstanding. It's a great father lesson and a great lesson for us. I mean, we live in one of, if not the wealthiest country on the planet, and we think, oh, I don't like this car, I want something else. Or, you know, I have two incredible sons as well that they love God and they have good, strong perspectives, but it hasn't always been that way. You know, I've had sons complaining that, you know, they're mad because the internet connection on their Xbox isn't good and they got kicked out of their game, and you would think that the world came crashing to an end.
Yes.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. So that's a great lesson. I commend you, Wade, for teaching your sons that and keeping their perspective.
Thank you.
For me, you're right. It wasn't all me. It wasn't me at all. Like I said, I had developed that passion, but I think once people that are in your life see passion in you, they see drive in you, there are people out there that want to invest time. I mean, the first guy was my second grade math teacher named Bob Kekka, who was also ended up being a Little League coach for me. You know, he knew that it was a struggle at home. I would act out sometimes in school. I was very good at school. It was another thing that I dove into because it was a separation, at least in my mind, from having to go home and get hit by my dad or watching him do that to my sister or my mom. And so he invested the time in me, taught me advanced math, and was a good baseball coach to me and treated me with love and respect. A lot of them were baseball coaches. A lot of them were teachers where I grew up and went to high school. I remember in my first major league game in Kansas City, I made my debut on the road, but my first game I played in was, I believe, the next night in Kansas City. And back when I was a teenager, angry, my real dad had just left when we were 12, and he'd come to watch me play. He was on the school board. I knew who he was, but didn't talk to him. And one day after a game, we'd won, and I think I got two hits, but also struck out twice. And he came up to me and said, "Hey, Norman, great game." And I said, "Did you watch? I struck out twice." He said, "No, I liked the way you play." And I was angry and kind of snapped at him. But he was there watching games, and he didn't have a kid on the field. Well, later on, he ended up being an usher in my wedding here in the Kansas City area. But in that night, when I walked out onto the field as a defensive replacement in my first game as a Kansas City Royal, this was back in the mid-90s when there were not a lot of fans. We weren't winning much.
Mm-hmm.
So fans weren't coming in droves to the K. But I looked up when I got to left field, and there was Chuck sitting in the stands by himself amidst a sea of blue seats and just waving at me. And he took the time to not tell me. He'd read that I got called up. It's just people like that that invest in your lives, continue to invest in your lives, that God, I believe, puts in your life to help shape you into the man you are, gives you the character that we're continuing to learn and develop. And I think lastly, what I learned as I got older is that I can play the victim or I can play the victor. You know, if I'm going to California, I don't want a roadmap to Rhode Island. But a roadmap to Rhode Island will help me, because at least it'll tell me how to not go to California. The gift that my real dad gave me, my biological father gave me, was the gift of, this is how you don't treat your children. This is how you don't treat your wife. I was angry at him for a long time, hated him for a long time, but as I grew older, I grew to forgive him, realized that he didn't know who his dad was. His mom did not invest in his life at all, and he spent most of his life learning everything on his own, and he coped the best way he could. So I'm the dad and the husband I am today, partly because my dad showed me what not to do, and that's a gift if you're willing to look at it that way.
Wow. I commend you for looking at it that way, because you know that's not easy to do. There's a lot of people that don't look at it that way, and I commend you for that. And I know you'll go into more detail about all this coming up on March the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
On a lighter note, how'd you get on Wheel of Fortune, Les? I hear you're on Wheel of Fortune.
Well, the whole story would be, I'll give you the short version. The whole story, it's a great story. It's actually a father-son story, which, again, I'll share more of this on Monday, on the 5th. But we're sitting around in January of 2017, my wife and my bride and my youngest son. and we're watching it, and I've always been good at puzzles, spent all the minor leagues and big leagues just puzzles, crossword puzzles, things like that, keeping my mind sharp. And so I would solve a puzzle. My son would say, come on, Dad, let me have a shot. So finally I said, I'll go in the kitchen and cook dinner, and I won't say anything. Well, there was only one or two tiles left, and I knew it, and I was going to let him, and the competition got the best of me. I failed, and I shouted it out. And so at the time he was 11, and he said, that's it. You're making a video. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're making a video. I did the research. You're going on Wheel of Fortune. I said, oh, okay, whatever. He's like, no, really, you are. I said, okay, I will. Well, about a month later, in February of 2017, my 11-year-old walks in, and he says, did you do it? I said, what are you talking about? What did I forget? He said, did you make the video for Wheel of Fortune? I said, oh, buddy, that was a month ago. I forgot. And he looked at me, and he said, well, then you're a promise breaker. I said, oh, my goodness. Here I'm trying to teach my children integrity.
Yes.
And even in something small, I forgot and failed. I didn't take it as seriously as he did. So I went right upstairs, made a goofy, funky video that I didn't think they would pick, which comes to find out, it's the one they pick.
Uh-huh.
So auditions came to Kansas City. I told him I would go since he's the one that did the video. I went. They didn't give me a second call. I solved my one puzzle, filled out a sheet of paper. They say by September 19th, if you don't get anything in the mail, you have to wait a year, then you can audition again. Well, I found out that a million people audition a year, or a million people submit videos a year, 10,000 audition, 600 get on the show, 200 a year make it to the bonus round. So September 16th, my bride walks in and says, I got an email, or she said, you made the show. I said, no, I already checked the mail. Nothing came in the mail. She said, oh, darn, can't fool you. So she waited an hour and then said, hey, come here and check the email. So I checked the email. It was a producer from Wheel of Fortune. I called him, and sure enough, I got picked to be on the show. So the end of that story, which again, I'm missing a lot of detail here, from that moment, we had to go up to my son's school in junior high. He's in seventh grade. And he says, or I go up to him and say, hey, you will not believe it. He's getting ready to run a cross-country meet. So you will not believe this. I got picked for Wheel of Fortune. And he just stood there and stared at me. I said, that means I'm going to take you out of school. We're going to L.A. for 3 days. Are you excited? He's like, I'm not surprised. I said, what are you talking about? This is unbelievable. This is once in a lifetime. He said, Dad, I'm excited for you, but look, the day I told you to submit a video, and this is the part that chokes me up, but he looked at me in the eye and he said, the moment that you made the video, I knew you were going to get picked because I have faith in you.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then he said, now leave me alone. I got to go get ready to run my race. So that's how it ended. But it's an incredible father-son moment.
Yeah.
Just to be there was amazing. And then obviously, you know, getting to the bonus round, not having enough U's in my back pocket. I didn't get that final, the usual hangout puzzle. But just a really cool moment, a really cool story about faith, integrity, and perspective.
Yeah, because you were more surprised than he was, is what you're saying. When you were picked, he was just like, yeah, I knew you would. I knew you'd be picked.
It wasn't more surprised. I was surprised and he wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he believed from the moment, because I let him press send once I made the video.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment he pressed send, he's like, get ready.
Wow.
Might be a while, but get ready. So the following September, you know, that September I talked about, this past September, we flew to L.A. And then it aired this past January 5th. And, you know, I've been able to share that story with a lot of people. And
that's awesome.
If anything, it taught me so much about a father-son relationship and how we are to have faith like children, because theirs is the purest of faith.
That's a fantastic story. Thanks for sharing. Les Norman is
sure.
Our guest, and he is going to be the featured speaker of that story and many others coming up on Monday, March the 5th at the North Central Kansas Men and Boys Rally, and the event is open to men, women, boys, and girls of all ages. All right, so you are a former Royal. You mentioned that you still cover the Royals, the AA, AAA affiliates. You certainly break down the Royals on Between the Lines on 810 with Kevin Keatsman. I've heard you do that and do a wonderful job. And you present some different analysis that I don't hear from other people in regards to breaking down the game. You know, there's the lay baseball fan that knows the basics, and then there's those that really know their stuff, and you certainly are one of those. What are your thoughts on the Royals? Because as we record this interview, and I'll be full disclosure, we're recording this interview on Valentine's Day here on a Wednesday, February the 14th. Spring training, let's see, the first full squad workout is on Monday, February the 19th. As of this recording, Eric Hosmer has not signed. Mike Moustakas has not signed. Jason Vargas has not signed. There's a lot of free agents that are still available that are, well, they are unemployed, technically. They're not tied to a team, not under contract. Are you surprised that this has occurred in Major League Baseball, or is this something you kind of saw coming between the players and the owners to where the big contracts, there are a few still out there, they've just been kind of sporadic, and that such big-name players are still unsigned as pitchers and catchers report?
I think it's absolutely crazy, Wade. I mean, if you think about it, Scott Boras, the big power agent, the super agent, is having a mock spring training at his complex. There's another, not a mock, but a real kind of free agent spring training, so these guys can actually have spring training and be working out. But it is the oddest, weirdest, less of a full strike spring training that I've ever seen. I mean, I know in 1994, the year that strike to start the season, you know, I was in the minor leagues. I didn't have a day in the big leagues, but because I was in the 40-man roster, I couldn't even go to double-A spring training or triple-A spring training, where I would have been considered a scab. So, very weird. The circle has come back to these teams realizing that we can win without spending the most money. I mean, I think that Cashman out in New York will always feel that way with the Yankees. There are the big market teams that will still feel that way to an extent, like the Dodgers too, but they're coming to a point where they realize we're using what I call the guys in the nerdery statistics with WAR and the Pecota things and all those stats are revealing now. I think Billy Beane was the precursor to all this, the pioneer, so to speak. Statistics now show that you don't have to just go out, spend money, get the guys that everybody wants, push yourself to where you're not going to make a lot of money in pursuit of one World Series, which isn't guaranteed, and we can actually get guys that can do a great job, guys that don't get paid as much, I feel like will have a stronger clubhouse because they're all on that same page. Mm-hmm. There's not the guy that just got called up, the guy that signed a 2-year, $3 million, and the guy that signed a 10-year, $250 million contract, because those are different types of players and different types of attitudes and different types of guys. And so the game is changing. I think the owners are starting to realize we can do this without this big race and pushing our payroll, which we're going to pay for sooner than later. And it allows teams to have more of a shot, consistent opportunities to win for a consistent amount of time, as opposed to giving guys the 7-, 8-, 9-year contracts that they desire. Spring training is going to look different for the Royals. I don't think it's the weird thing is that every day Hosmer doesn't sign the big contract, the Royals may have a chance to get him to a 1-year deal, but is that going to make him disgruntled? Mm-hmm. Because the Royals are obviously in a rebuilding phase. So the Royals, I believe, will not allow someone like Scott Boras or the big contracts to hold them prisoner anymore. They're going to go with what they have, and I think both financially and positionally, it's going to bring more parity to the game.
Wouldn't that be a huge mistake by Scott Boras and Eric Hosmer to sign a 1-year deal? And the reason I bring that up is, of course, if that's the only offer out there, you sign it. There have been reports that, and I don't know if I really buy this, the Royals 7 years, $147 million, the Padres 7 years, $140, maybe up at the $150 million. But next year, you look at the crop of free agents. You got, I think Mike Trout would be a free agent. Clayton Kershaw can opt out. Bryce Harper, Josh, yep, Donaldson. The market's going to be even tougher, I think, next year for Eric Hosmer to get a big deal. Doesn't he need to get it done here very quickly? And if there was a 7-year, $147 million table or offer on the table, which I'm still not convinced there is, why wouldn't he have signed it by now?
Well, I don't think that all those reports that those were out there are legitimate.
I agree.
Those big, long 7-year, 147. I think a lot of agents do that. They put these false reports out, or mm-hmm, whatever the law is and what they're allowed to say or report, they fall in right underneath it. I think it's a tactic to create a buzz and an impatience on owners. Like, okay, we can't hem and haw. We can't play this game.
Right.
We're going to hurry up and be the team that signs into this deal, and we'll get our first baseman. We'll worry about how it puts us in a bind financially later on. So I believe those are created out there. But I agree with you. It would be very foolish for Hosmer to sign a one-year deal, even though he may have to. Boris may have backed him against the wall and some of these other guys against the wall, too, because, you know, Hosmer's 28. He's not really been hurt. He plays a position. It's not super demanding. Now, granted, he's amazing at it. He's a gold glover and offensive. He's one of the best players in the game, arguably, probably as a whole, every area, the best first baseman in the game. But, you know, next year he's going to be 29, 30. And, you know, what if he does? What if this is the first year he gets hurt?
Mm-hmm.
What if, why not the 5 year or even the 6 year instead of doing the 7, 8, 9 year thing? Because, quote unquote, that's what the market will bear. That's what they think, but the market doesn't bear that. And you put yourself a considerable risk because now if you're healthy all the way through to 28, you sign your 1 year deal. Now you're 29, 30, and if you're hurt, now you're not legitimately playing at full speed again until you're, what, 31 or 32. Now you're considered past your MLB prime. And I'll end with this. Here's the question I keep telling my kids, keep talking to radio stations, and keep reporting myself. When it comes to a player and an agent like Scott Boras, who works for who?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the agent supposed to be working for the player, which begs the question, either Scott Boras didn't educate his players enough, he's got them convinced that that's the way to go, he's got them convinced that they can't speak up, because I know people sign Scott Boras because he's going to get them a ton of money and he's going to manage them mm-hmm. the best, but in this case, he might be losing out on hundreds of millions of dollars by trusting a guy who may have backed him into a corner, and to me, that doesn't make sense.
I agree, and I think it also shows that he misread the situation. Even though Scott Boras has been a terrific agent, he's misread it. Would you agree with this, that with each day that passes, the Royals have more leverage in this situation? Yes, they don't have a bona fide starting first baseman, but they're in a rebuild anyway. They don't have to have Eric Hosmer to proceed, and if the money's too high anyway, couldn't the Royals or the Padres or whoever else is interested in Eric Hosmer say, listen, February 19th is our first full squad workout. We need an answer. Here's our offer on the table. That's the best we're going to do. Take it or leave it. And if you don't want it, fine. We're going to move on. If you want it, we'd love to have you.
I think you're absolutely right there, too. It's massive leverage for the Royals. I think Dayton Moore is the type of general manager who's about character and integrity, and he is not going to sacrifice the whole team for one. He's going to sacrifice the one for the whole team. Camaraderie is huge. I mean, you had these guys that came up through the minor leagues that they developed, and they were great players. But in 2014 and 2015, they weren't necessarily the super mega superstars yet that they are right now. And they won with a great clubhouse. They won with timely hitting. They won with good defense. They won, and I was at the game. They won against Oakland when they were down by 6 runs, 8-2, and came back and won. And what my son looked at me and screamed at the end of the game was the greatest game he's ever been to. And mm-hmm. I agreed. Yeah. So I think that Dayton Moore and the way he goes about things in the long run by saying, Eric, it's time for you to move on if you're not going to sign by this date, which I agree with you, Wade, for sure. I think other players in the future are going to be more attracted to a clubhouse where they're men, but they're playing a game, they're having fun, even though there's millions of dollars at stake. And I think players are going to be attracted to that, knowing I may not get $200 million in Kansas City, so I'll settle for 80 and have the time of my life as I ride off into the sunset. That's the atmosphere he creates, and that's one of the many reasons why I respect him so much.
Well put, well put. Les Norman, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Les, we look forward to meeting you in person coming up on Monday, March the 5th. And tell everyone, I know you have a website, let people know how they can learn more about you.
Well, thanks. It's just my name, lesnorman.com. That's not an ego thing. That's just because it's my name and the website was available, so I figured we'll go with that.
Easy to remember.
You can find my podcasts on there. They're on the radio page. You can see all that and all the cool guests that come on. You know, we just interviewed, based on the Olympics, former speed skating gold medalist Dan Jansen was just on. I'm getting ready to interview Kayla Harrison, who's the judo champion. Just talk with Muggsy Bogues, getting ready to have Steve Nash come on. I had a cool author that combines baseball and faith. Billy Coffey was on yesterday. So lesnorman.com, you can find all that information. The Twitter handle is just @lnorman22. and any speaking stuff, my hitting book, any of that stuff is just basically lesnorman.com, easy to go. Even my contact information's on there.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you today. Stay on the line if you would, Les. I'm going to do the little plug for everything that's going on because there's a lot to cover here. Les right. will be the featured speaker on Monday, March the 5th. It's North Central Kansas Men and Boys Rally. They're in Beloit, put on by the Salina District Great Plains Conference and Beloit First United Methodist Church. Here's a schedule of events. Dinner served from 4:45 to 6:30. That'll be at the Beloit United Methodist Church. A praise and worship event will begin at 6 o'clock with music. The program will begin at 7, and the praise and worship event ticket only. If you don't want to go to the dinner and just want to go to the event that evening, adults $10, youth 18 and under $5. If you want to go make it a whole big event, dinner and the praise and worship, and then to hear Les speak, it's $20 for adult, youth 18 and under 15. For more information, you can contact your local United Methodist Church, your pastor, your UMM leader, or many other contacts that are available to you. And once again, this event is open to men, women, boys, and girls of all ages. Les Norman, the featured speaker, former Royals baseball player, syndicated sports radio host, TV analyst, author, motivational speaker. He does it all, and he will be in Beloit coming up on Monday, March the 5th.